Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name's Murray Shanks. I'm the pastor of Foster Baptist Church in New South Wales in Australia. And it's great to be with you here this Easter Sunday, 2023. He is risen. He is risen indeed, I hear you say. You know, the kingdom come, the church be one. It's a great prayer, isn't it? The kingdom of God come and may his church be one. Yet so often we haven't been one. So often the church, not just this local church, but the church all over the world has been anything but unified. So often we've let the Lord down, and so often we've failed to be a channel for God's love and grace and mercy. So often we've focused on the wrong things, becoming closed and insular, focusing more on ourselves than on those who are yet to know the love of Jesus. So often we, the church, have let the Lord down together. But what about the times when we've let him down individually? In 1995, Louise and I packed up all our things and went off to Bible college. We felt sure that God was calling us to this. I just felt sure that God was calling me to be a pastor. And this was the first big step in that journey. I really felt that I was doing what God wanted me to do. It had been a long time coming, about 10 years. In fact, finally, we were there. 18 months later, we were packing up and going home. I'd just completed 1.5 years of a 4-year course. What started out to be a life's calling had, it seemed, all just come crashing down. Now, eventually, obviously, we went back, and Louise and I both finished our theological studies. But at the time, I felt as though I'd let everyone down. The people who were supporting us financially, those who believed in us, the church family that sent us out, and especially God. Have you ever let someone down? Have you ever made a promise that you had every intention of keeping, only to find that you were unable to honour? Have you ever felt that God just couldn't love and accept you because of something that you've done? Others might, because they don't know the whole story. You've been able to keep some of the truth from others, but God knows it all. He knows all your hidden secrets. He knows all the times that you've let him down, and he knows all the times that you've let others down as well. Well, this morning, this Easter Sunday morning, 2023, as we once again remember and celebrate the risen Lord Jesus, let me tell you about someone who could well relate to you. His name is Peter. Peter was a regular type of guy, a fisherman, probably pretty rough around the edges. There was nothing particular about Peter that we would say set him apart from anyone else. Peter, it seems, was a very normal bloke. But then Jesus came walking by. Jesus came walking along the beach, his beach, the beach from which he worked, and simply said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. Basically, Peter, on that day, just walked away from his life, his livelihood, his regular patterns of being, and nothing would ever be the same again. I believe Peter is a model for us. Peter is a model for all of us, especially on Easter Sunday. You see, the Lord called Peter out of relative obscurity with all of his failings and his normality to be a central player in the opening chapters of the story of the church, the bigger thing God is doing in all of history. The Lord Jesus is building his church with all of its shortcomings and failings, and he chooses to build it through men and women just like Peter, just like you, and just like me. The Lord calls all of us out of apparent obscurity to do amazing things through us. I don't know whether you know this or not, but I believe that it is true with every part of my being. God wants to do big things, both in your life and through your life. And God wants to do even bigger things, both in his church and through his church. I pulled out all the passages where Peter is mentioned in the Gospels, a little bit like, the player cam idea in the NRL, you know, where the camera doesn't follow the ball, but rather stays on just one player. It was a great thing to do. The first time we see Peter after Jesus calls him is when the disciples are out in a boat on the lake in the middle of the night. Peter was in the boat that night when it was being buffeted by strong winds. Jesus went out to them on the water. In fact, it was Peter who called out to Jesus in the midst of their shock and disbelief. "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Peter was the one. He was the bloke who stepped out of the boat and briefly walked on the water, only to quickly lose faith and start sinking, then to have Jesus lift him back up onto the surface of the water. Peter was the one. He was the bloke who stood there hanging on to Jesus as the strong wind suddenly died down, and together they step back into the boat to find the other disciples worshipping Jesus, the Son of God. Peter was there. He saw it all. He was part of it. And it was Peter who, on another occasion, the Lord asked to get back into his boat after a hard night's fishing, row out to the deep water again, and once again let down the nets. Have a look. We read in Luke chapter 5. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their parents in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Peter was there. He saw it all. He was part of it. Peter was part of that inner circle, Jesus' closest mates, Peter, James, and John. Peter was there when Jesus was called to the house of Jairus, a religious leader whose daughter was really, really ill. Peter was there when the servants came and said, "Your daughter's dead. Don't worry the teacher anymore." But Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." And then Peter was there in the room when Jesus raised that little girl from the dead. Peter was there. He saw it all. He was part of it. Peter was one of the three, the same three, the inner circle who were taken up onto a high mountain with the Lord. We read in Matthew 17, there he, Jesus, was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as the light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter was there. Peter saw it all. He even had this crazy idea that he could help them out by building a bit of a shelter for them. Just imagine it. How embarrassing. Peter was there. He saw it all. He was the first to recognize that Jesus was the Holy One of God. When so many of the other disciples were leaving Jesus, it was Peter who said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Peter had been given so much, and he'd seen so much, yet he still failed to see things as they really were. You know, I asked you earlier, have you ever let someone down? Have you ever made a promise that you failed to keep? Have you ever let a mate down really badly? Well, have a look at what Peter did straight after the Last Supper. When they'd sung a hymn, we looked at this on Friday. When they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth." Jesus answered, "This very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then, just as we read during our service on Friday, Jesus was overcome with grief and sorrow. He asked his disciples to keep watch as he went alone to pray. Three times Peter fell asleep while the Lord asked him to stay awake, watch and pray. Then suddenly the betrayer was upon them. Judas had arrived with a large crowd of temple guards. Peter, who I imagine was feeling terrible about falling asleep, lunged forward with a sword, cutting off a young man's ear. Impulsive Peter still didn't get it. He still didn't understand. But Jesus dealt with it, and he healed the wounded boy's ear. Peter then followed Jesus as he was dragged off and put on trial. He followed at a distance and then chose to warm himself by the fire whilst Jesus went before the religious authorities. People standing around recognized Peter. "You were with him," they said. "What? Rubbish. I don't even know the man," he cried. Three times he denied even knowing Jesus. Then the rooster crowed and Jesus caught his eye. He immediately remembered what the Lord had said to him, and the Bible says he went outside and sobbed bitterly. Peter let Jesus down badly. Peter, who had seen so much with his own eyes. Peter, who had been given so much more than the others. Peter, who was part of that inner circle, who'd literally walked on water with Jesus. Peter, who knew deep in here that Jesus was the Son of God, had just said, I don't even know the man. How would you feel? I mean, how do you think Jesus felt? In that moment, Peter severed his relationship with Jesus because of selfishness. He was simply afraid of what might happen to him if others knew that he was a follower of Jesus. Self-centeredness severed his relationship with Jesus. Is that not what we have all done? Every one of us is separated from God because of self-centeredness. We're all like Peter. We all need to have our relationship with God repaired. I want you to look carefully at what the angel said to the woman who came to the empty tomb early on the Sunday morning. Jesus was put to death on the Friday, crucified, then placed in a tomb with a large stone over the entrance. The women came early in the morning, before sunrise, to put spices on his body. The angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Go, tell his disciples and Peter." You see, the Lord knew how Peter was feeling. He knew just how badly Peter had let him down. But now Jesus is reaching out to Peter, reaching out to restore the relationship. And when Peter heard the news from the women, he ran with John to see for himself. He ran and found the tomb empty. Then after Jesus had appeared to his disciples a number of times over the following weeks, they were fishing together by the Sea of Tiberias or Lake Galilee. In John 21, we read these words. "It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. 'I'm going out to fish,' Simon Peter told them, and they said, 'We'll go with you.' So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, 'Friends, have you any fish?' 'No,' they answered. He said, 'Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some.' When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.' And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, 'It is the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish you've just caught.' Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' Three times then Jesus asked Peter, 'Do you love me?' And three times he replied, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.'" I really want you to see this. Jesus sought Peter out and forgave him. But in doing so, he took Peter back to where it had all begun. A miracle involving a great catch of fish. And there he gave Peter the fresh start that he needed. You see, Jesus is the Lord of new beginnings. Jesus is the Lord of new beginnings. Because of Easter Sunday, because of the resurrection, because Jesus conquered death once and for all, because death now has no sting for those who are in Christ, because he didn't just die on a cross 2,000 years ago, because he rose from the grave, and because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is the Lord of new beginnings. If Jesus could forgive Peter, who had been given so much and then let him down so badly, why couldn't Jesus forgive you? He can. Jesus wants to give you a new start. Jesus wants to repair the relationship that is severed by your sin. Whatever you've done, whatever mess your life is in, Jesus knows all about it. And he wants to give you a new start. Jesus can do that because he's defeated death. He's paid for your sins once and for all. Jesus is able to cleanse you completely, just as he completely forgave Peter for all that he had done. Maybe you've walked closely with Jesus in the past, but you let him down. You feel as though he couldn't accept you back after everything that's happened. I mean, it's been so long. How could you come back now? I want you to imagine Jesus standing there by the fire saying to you, "Come on, come and have some breakfast." Maybe you've been walking alone for your whole life. You've never walked with Jesus. And you feel as though it's now too late to make a change, too late to take that step. It's never too late in this life to come to Jesus. Maybe you think that Jesus could just never forgive you. Let me tell you, he can and he wants to. That is the whole reason he came to earth, the whole reason that he suffered and died. The whole reason that he rose again was to make it possible for you and me to start again. Do you know what happened to Peter? Well, just a short while after this monumental failure, Peter stood up and preached the gospel boldly. This apparently insignificant fisherman who was given so much but then blew it so badly started again with Jesus, forgiven and restored. He stood boldly declaring the good news about Jesus and the grace of God to men and women who filled the streets of Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost. And the book of Acts tells us that around 3,000 people responded to that first sermon. Jesus is the Lord of new beginnings. If Jesus can give the likes of Peter a fresh start, what about you? Once again, I'm going to ask that we all bow our heads. Are you looking for a fresh start? Do you want to find freedom from whatever is holding you back? Do you want your sins to be washed away? Do you want to find forgiveness, acceptance, and love? Well, this is the message of Easter. This is what Easter Sunday is all about. Jesus is standing with his hand outstretched saying, come on, let's start afresh. You and me, let's start again. You might like to pray this prayer in the quietness of your own heart. Jesus hears every word. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done. I'm sorry for being rebellious and self-centered. I'm sorry for walking my own way, and I want to turn towards you now. I want to make a fresh start. Jesus, thank you for taking my place on the cross. Thank you for dying for me. Forgive me, Lord. I ask you to come into my life and change me from within. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.